welcome to this episode of the Cacoldris podcast. I'm your host, Anna. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm in bed with my cuckold, David, and today we're going to talk about monogamy. Say hello, David.
Yeah, hi, guys.
So, I started to touch on it in another podcast that we did about monogamy. We were talking about couples who have been together for a long time. They've got a family, they've got a home, they've got assets, they've got, you know, finances and everything all. But because of the stresses of raising children, maybe they're in business together as well, running a house together, having to deal with mundane things like the utility bill, the council tax, fixing the block drain.
Yep.
It pretty much sucks out any of the spontaneous sort of sexual attraction that you had for each other in the first place.
Oh, it does. Pressures of life, yeah. I mean, you've not touched on stress really there, have you?
No, that's a massive thing as well. Well, it's the stress of all of those things, and particularly for us, you know, having businesses together. We were living and breathing those businesses 24/7.
Oh, it was like having a screaming baby, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, certainly one of them. And it does. You end up, you end up being more colleagues or business associates than married couple.
Yeah. And so everything that you got together for in the first place is forgotten about.
Yeah.
It's gone. You haven't got the, you're too exhausted. You're sick of the sight of each other.
Yeah.
But you want to stay together because you've got so much together. You love each other. You've invested so much into that relationship.
Your best mates.
Best mates.
Hopefully.
Everything. But we are still sexual creatures.
Yeah.
So what happens? I mean, married couples end up not having sex because it's something, it's a chore. Or it's something that you become conscious, oh God, it's been ages since we last did it. Oh, perhaps we ought to do it. Wow. Talk about spontaneous.
Oh, I remember, told you this before, I remember playing golf, a good friend of mine, and himself and his partner had been together a long time. We sex came up for some reason, and he said, he just made me chuckle the way he said it. He said, oh, fuck that. He said, I'd rather have a good pork pie than sex these days. And it's funny. I found it really funny, but that is the point, isn't it? You know,
it's funny, but it's sad.
It is.
At the same time,
it is sad. Yeah.
So, wouldn't it? Right. So the question is: are we supposed to be monogamous?
Gosh, it's a massive question, isn't it? And
swans are monogamous. Swans mate for life.
Right.
But they don't pay electric bills.
No.
They don't have those stresses and strains, do they?
No.
They just glide around together, try not to get attacked by foxes and bring up a clutch of eggs every year.
Yeah.
That's all they've got going on. There's loads of other animals that are monogamous. But I don't believe that there's a single primate that's monogamous.
But they may not have the same sophistication of emotion as a human being has, because, you know, gosh, I don't even know where to start with this, but, you know, let's talk about the emotion of jealousy. And, you know, people get jealous. It's I don't know whether animals,
but jealousy is to do with insecurity. Animals don't feel insecure, so they can't feel jealousy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, insecurity then, but people do, and probably, who knows the amount of people, but, you know, it's a common emotion, isn't it? To feel insecure, then to feel jealous, and then things drop to bits.
Right. Okay. So if you're talking about jealousy in a marriage or, you know, in a long-term relationship, we'll just say marriage just for ease of talking. If somebody finds out that their partner is cheating, the jealousy, insecurity, the angst, the fear comes from, oh, that person's found somebody else. They're going to break up with me. It's all going to fall apart.
Yes.
And this is where I'm getting to.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be much simpler to just accept that it's not always possible to be monogamous? So rather than forcing yourself into a state of monogamy because society expects it, your parents expect it, your partner expects it, wouldn't society be a lot happier if we accepted that perhaps we can't be monogamous and that we shouldn't be monogamous? Can't the family unit stay together, but each parent has got something on the side? But they've got something on the side with somebody else that's also got their family unit and doesn't want to upset the apple cart.
Yeah, but that's really depending upon their emotional maturity and their ability to keep emotions in check, to keep them, you know, falling in love with each other, to cause damage to those families.
But we used to do it. People used to do it. I think we might have discussed this before, but if you go back to like Downton Abbey times, so you know, you go back a few generations, families who had money, the landed gentry, it was an unspoken expectation that that's just the way it was. They would, you know, the women had to be pure. The guys would go out and sow their wild oats and get the maids pregnant. Yeah. Then the betrothed couple would get married, and then her duty was to provide an heir and a spare. He was still getting maids pregnant, but she had to be pure so that the families knew that those were the true heirs to the estates and all the final, you know, the money, the family money. And then as soon as she'd provided the heir and a spare, she was then allowed to then go and get lovers, go and have her own lovers. But the idea was that each parent didn't rub the other's noses in it. It was discreet.
Yeah.
It was very discreet. It was an open secret. It was discreet. But the point was that the family unit was protected. The family finances were protected. They still stayed within the family. But once that was protected and guaranteed, because it would be passing down to the next generation because they didn't have DNA tests in those days, then after that, they could do what they wanted. What doesn't that make more sense? And I'm pretty sure as well that in other cultures, like in France, for example, it's absolutely expected that the guy has mistress. So he has his wife and his family in the country, but he has his mistress in a little apartment in town. I don't know what she's supposed to do when he's out having Christmas with his family, but I think that there's a lot of cultures in Africa. They have, and the women are called the women are referred to as their sides.
Right.
So they have their wife and the family, but they have their on the side.
Right.
Yeah. Sure. We like the Sopranos. Yeah. So they're Italian. And the Sopranos, they had Gumars.
Right.
Gumars with the women on the side. Now, that is very, what's the word? Well, it's misogynistic, actually. Very patriarchal, that the women had to stay totally and utterly faithful, but they could have a woman on the side. And that's wrong. I'm saying that he can have somebody on the side, she can have somebody on the side, but it's completely open. There's no lying. There's no deceit. It's very open. And it's agreed that that's all it is. And the reason why that's all it is because there's like a wall on the other side as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay, so it begs the question then. Obviously, you know, we've decided to go down a cuckolding route.
Yeah.
Honestly, how would you feel if I said, look, I want to see other women?
I wouldn't like it.
Well, there you go.
Well, okay. Cuckolding and cuckolding's not the same thing at all, is it? Because the whole point about cuckolding is that it's only the wife.
We need to, yeah, for this conversation, I think we ought to really park cuckolding at the side. And it needs to be about monogamy and swinging. You know, if I, yeah, you wouldn't. I knew the answer. I remember when we first met, one of the things you used to do as a professional dominatrix was occasionally send a client off and do a client swap, didn't you, with another mistress, whereby, yeah. And I always thought that was fantastic idea. And I remember mentioning it in passing to you, would you do that with me? And you said, absolutely not. I'm keeping you to myself. And I thought, okay.
Well, I can be very generous with other women's husbands.
Yeah.
But not me. And I don't know why. I don't know why that. Is it because I don't get jealous? That's the thing. I don't know why, because I don't get jealous. I don't like it, jealousy. I hate it.
Well, this is really...
passion. And it's not because I'm jealous. I don't know why.
Possession?
I don't know, maybe. I don't know. I'll have to think about it. Or is it because of the dynamic that we've got, whereas I'm your dominant, you're my submissive? It's not very submissive of you to go off with somebody else.
It is, as long as I come back and I'm submissive to you.
And it is, as long as I send you off to somebody else, because I'm, do you see what I mean? I'm taking sort of charge of it.
Yeah.
It's me being generous rather than you being deceitful.
Yeah. But, you know, going back to your point about monogamy and about it being open, and wouldn't it be a better culture and a better way of life if everybody understood that the family unit was central, that they could go off and they could do their thing. But as long as everybody was understood the dynamic, the family unit was protected, the home unit was protected, then why is it not a good thing?
Yeah.
So for me to be, let's say, sent away, if we want to keep the female relationship going, and then come back and still maintain my submission to you, still hate that.
No, it's not that I would hate that. It's just I can't see it happening anyway.
That's the mute point, whether you could see it happening. It's how you would feel about it if it did happen.
I don't know.
You see, and therein lies a big question, doesn't it, for the whole subject of monogamy, because people are different. People have got different emotions. It's great. I mean, your head can tell you one thing, can't it? And your heart can tell you another thing. You know, the way I'm seeing this is, you know, it's a really, really good question and subject to bring up that you have brought up. And your head is telling you that. And I can see it with my head. Yeah, it makes sense. But then the emotion, the heart, can say a different thing. And I think therein lies a massive problem with monogamy as a non-monogamy as a culture.
Yeah.
People's emotions.
Yeah. Yeah, because when you're emotional, or you're sort of emotionally got some sort of emotional trauma going on, or you're emotionally compromised, you can do some weird things, can't you? You can behave in some peculiar ways.
You can.
And you don't even recognise yourself.
Well, look, I mean, I don't, you know, not to go down this rabbit hole, and it's, you know, when, you know, we know that when we first got together, and I, you know, I struggled with some jealousies, with you going, you know, going off doing your business, with play with other guys behind locked doors. You know, there were times when I found it really difficult, but it was weird because I'd never felt like that way before. And the other thing was weird was it wasn't all the time. It was checkered. And I've looked back at it because I'm still quite ashamed of the way I felt some of the time, because it wasn't me and it was wrong. But I've looked back and I've thought, well, without being honest and without making excuses for myself, why did I feel like that on occasions? And I honestly think it was when there was things that weren't right in my other parts of my life. You know, I'd gone through, the company I worked for went bust. That was an insecurity. My career, my income was an insecurity. Going through my divorce, insecurity. Fighting to see the kids, child custody issues, insecurity. All my life was insecure. So when something happens or it sparks or there is emotion, then I found it hard. I found it really difficult. And it came out as an insecurity, as a jealousy.
And then you brooded on my job then?
Yeah, I did.
And then that became the issue rather than what you were insecure about.
Yeah.
Which is often what jealousy is. Because you got better when you started doing some filming. So I was doing filming anyway, but all I could do was put a camera up on a tripod in the corner of the room and just point it out the centre of the room and try and make sure I was always in frame. So I think, I don't even know how we got onto it actually, but you ended up coming to do some filming for me and doing photographs. And that made your jealousy much, much better because you knew what was going on.
Yeah.
So, oh, actually, this loops back actually to cuckolding, you know, it really does. So the guys that you, so then there were the guys that you met, the ones that wanted to do the filming, and you got to know them, and that was okay. So there was no unknown quantity there anymore.
So not there was those ones, no.
Yeah. And then the guys who didn't want to do filming because of their jobs or just because they just didn't want to do it, so you never met them. Because there was no reason for you to meet them.
No.
So as your jealousy got better and better and better, you were still hanging on and you had jealousy about them. But that all makes sense, that you're insecure about what you don't know. So it's what you don't know that you become jealous of.
Yeah, but...
Because what's going off in your head is 10 times what's actually going on in real life.
Yeah, but there's another bigger aspect to this as well. And it might have just been by chance. I don't particularly think it was in all the cases, but the guys who didn't film and I've never met were also the guys who told you that they loved you, that, you know, they would love the idea of living with you and being married to you, running away together. You know, one or two of them, well, one of them didn't want to see you anymore when we got married, that kind of thing. And they were all those guys. Now, the reason I bring that up is because, again, looping back to monogamy, people are people. And whatever they were feeling, and I know that a lot of that talk would come out when they were under treatment.
Mm.
But it is, I know because I've done it, it is just, it's a lowering of your boundary, your barriers, so you come out and you say what is in your mind.
Yeah, it's like having a few drinks.
Yeah.
Your inhibitions are lowered, so you tend to come out with what you really feel and really think.
Yeah. So,
but as I explained to you, that was my professional dominatrix persona.
Yeah,
fantasy.
Yeah,
it's total fantasy. I mean, one guy said, one of them that you're always jealous of, actually. One guy said to me that He did understand. We did talk about it. He did understand that who he was presented with on a monthly basis was only a fraction of me. And he just jokingly said, he liked the idea of a female-led relationship, but he was in a very, he's a solicitor, so he's in a very professional profession.
Yeah,
yeah, so he couldn't imagine letting go of that authority and then coming into the house. And he probably imagined it would be something like, you know, wearing an apron all day long and doing chores and on his knees scrubbing. And, you know, because people get mixed up between reality and fantasy, don't they? But he did say, he did sort of laugh and say, he said, you're probably a nightmare to live with, really.
And I want to
I'd laugh and say, yeah I am.
Okay, can I pick up on that? And this is, right, this is not me being defensive or justifying anything. Okay, this is the point of monogamy. What the conversation is about monogamy. I also know that he was, for want of a better word, put out when we got engaged. And he told you that. Now, for me, and this is for me at this point whereby my life is insecure, all different aspects of my life are dropping to bits, apart from my new relationship with you. And, I fell in love with you. We had a good relationship. It was probably the only stable thing in my life. For you to go and spend time behind locked doors in a sexually charged environment, and I knew you know I know you really like him. And for him to openly say that he had, whatever it might have been, issues, whatever, I don't want to blow it up, with us getting engaged to get married, yeah, it fucking hurt me. It upset me, it pissed me off, and it made me feel insecure, and therefore I found it tough for a period of time. Now, what I want to say is, before I shut up, it's been a long time since I felt like that. Do you agree with that?
Well, I assume so. I don't know.
Well,
you know that
we haven't had a a dispute of any form in relation to Prodom for many, many years. So I don't feel like that. I absolutely don't. But again, our relationship has moved on. I've moved on. My life hasn't got that same instability. So the point I'm making is, again, it's people's emotions and people's feelings that make the whole isn't non-monogamy the right way to go. It's very difficult, because he obviously developed whatever they were feelings for you. I found that very difficult, knowing he had those feelings for you. And then, there is a potential for difficulty.
Okay, so good question is then, right? These guys, they're going to come and spend time with me.
Yeah.
It's going to be full-on fantasy-type sex stuff and everything, yeah? What if one of them turns around and says, do you know what, I've got to be really honest, I think I'm falling for you. Do you want me to tell you or not? Or do you want me to just handle it?
Now, I do want you to tell me, and the reason I would want you to tell me is because the David of 10, 9 and 8 years ago, coming out of vanilla relationships into being with a sex worker, is far removed. And as I say, with his life dropping to bits around him, is far removed from the guy who's been with you now for 10 years, has got a much stable life, far more emotional maturity, and can very much handle it. I would much rather you tell me and be open and honest about it. And this is a big thing. I trust that you can handle it.
Because I tell you what, it's a big slap in the face when you trust somebody to be honest with them and tell them, look, this has been said, this is what's being discussed, and then you get rewarded by something negative like jealousy.
Yeah, of course it is. I totally get that. I totally get that. But again, we can talk about our experiences only one way, because I've never had any form of sexual engagement with a woman apart from you in 10 years. So we can only discuss this one way, can't we? And it's with you being with other guys, having relationships at some level of form with other guys, and me looking on. It would be a fantastic conversation if I would have seen other women as well, and we could have discussed it as a two-way dual conversation.
Can you be a cuckold and say, because we've talked about going to sex clubs, haven't we? To see what it's all about. Can you be a cuckold and go and do something with another woman in a sex club?
Well, I think that's another massive question, isn't it? And another massive answer. I think you can be whatever the couple want it to be.
Yeah.
I get silly, so fucking fed up with reading online, you are only a cuckold if you are, fuck off.
Yeah.
This is people, got to be.
People like to be prescriptive because they like to be very clear which label they're sticking on it. We are very, we like to categorise human beings.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be dead honest with you. On that subject, because we have touched on the subject of going to a sex club and swinging and would we do it and what does it mean? For me, I love the idea of having sex with another woman or playing with another woman. I think probably though, because of the cuckold dynamic, I'd really, really love to do.
What?
I would love you while you're going to see a bull to send me to one of your mistress friends or something and make me do the washing up and cleaning up or something, or lock me in a cage or something.
Really?
Yeah, I would absolutely love that. For that would probably be the ultimate for me, to have another dominant who you hand me over to...
Like a creche?
Yeah.
Like a cuckold's creche?
Yeah, to lock me up.
I know who, because Madame Press is down the road.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I could send you over to Madame Press and she could... I could say dress him up in plastic pants and and frillies and get him to clean your bathroom.
Yeah, I'll lock him in his cot. I mean, that's, you know, I'm all, well, that's exciting me.
That's brilliant.
I love the idea of that.
A cuckold creche.
Yeah.
Madam Press, have you ever thought about having a cuckold creche?
Yeah. So, you know, going back to the swinging kind of thing. Yeah, I would love to do some swinging. I would love that. How it fits with cuckolding, I'm not quite sure. But that would probably be my ultimate fantasy if there was another woman involved.
So just to loop this back to cuckolding then, because that's what we're supposed to be talking about. You know when you get cuckolds who say, oh yeah, you have to watch what's going on?
Yeah.
It's to handle their own jealousy, isn't it? Because it's that when you're a cuckold and you're, say, left at home, you've got more to worry about.
Yeah, yeah.
Because your mind's going 10 to the dozen. Whereas if you're the sort of cuckold that's listening, you can listen to what's going on. So you're yeah. concentrating on what is actually happening rather than yeah. worrying to death about what's not happening.
Yeah.
And then you've got the cuckolds that want to be in the corner of the room. So again, they can see more, so yeah. less. Right. So the question is, right, in the hot wife, what would you call it, version, the hot wife thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's called a vixen, isn't she?
Right.
And her fella, the stag, is usually watching. He's got his feet up. He's watching. He's filming it. Mm. And possibly even being, you know, like almost like the director.
Yeah.
What's going on? And yeah. sharing his wife with other bulls.
Yeah.
And possibly even, in fact, that's more probably gets onto then a bit of swinging, doesn't it? But so is a stag a very insecure cuckold?
Well, we've got to be careful. The last thing ever want to do on one of these podcasts is offend anybody.
I'm not judging anybody. No, and if they're offended, it's entirely their problem. I'm just asking a question. I'm not judging anybody.
Truth is, I don't know. I don't know anybody personally. I've never had a conversation with anybody. I think there's two things. I think you're absolutely right that in many, many cases, it will be a form of control and a form of making the whole thing easier. You know, I don't.
And about them.
And about them. I don't think for one minute, for a lot of guys, it would be easy seeing their wife pleasured by another man. But regarding the insecurity, yeah, they're watching what goes on. They're watching that they're not sat together making plans for the future
yeah.
together. So, yeah, there is that. They're involved. It's a definite three-way at some level. And I imagine that. I would imagine that seeing the cuckoldress leaving behind locked doors, I haven't got a clue what's going on. They know they're only going to get told what she wants to tell them.
Yeah.
Despite, yeah, she might say, oh, yeah, I'll tell you everything. Nobody knows whether you're going to tell her everything.
No.
It's a massive insecurity.
Yeah.
But there will be the other guys as well who genuinely do want to, you know, it's their thing. They want to watch. They want to get involved. And, you know, they might not have that insecurity. It might just be a genuine thing that that's what they want. Sex, we know fetish and sex is so diverse and different things to different people.
Yeah.
I imagine it's both. But I would certainly say if you've got to ask me, right, if you said to me now, okay, right, look, you know, lockdown's going to be finishing in, let's say, 3 weeks. I'm going to give you a choice, David.
Hmm.
Would you, on a insecurity level or an emotional level, would you find it easier on the first time to come and watch?
Hmm.
Or would you prefer it if I just went and, you know, I'll tell you what I want you to know when I come back.
Hmm.
And I would say I'll watch. Because on an insecurity level, okay?
Yeah.
Because I can see what's going on. I can listen to what's going on. I can see that you aren't telling each other that you love each other and you're going to leave that loser and set up home together and fuck off and smash the marriage to bits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's not going to happen, is it?
Oh, me coming? Watching?
Yeah.
No.
You're not watching.
No.
Because this is about me, not about your...
Yeah.
Jealousy / insecurity / angst / yeah. whatever. So as a cuckold, you're just going to have to get very used to that feeling of butterflies and excitement and dread and fear and and wonder why you're getting so turned on, aren't you?
Yeah.
All right, I think we'll wrap this up here. Okay, so we've got any final thoughts?
Yeah.
Go on.
So you're going to let me see another woman?
We'll talk about that. So thank you so much for listening. Feel free to contact me or David via the cuckoldresspodcast.co.uk, where you can leave me a voice message if you have any questions. You can also subscribe to the podcast using your favourite podcast player to ensure that you never miss out on any future episodes. If you would like to support my podcast, you can go to my Patreon page and see my Patreon benefits. Thank you and have a good night.